Here in the Vatican, the three-week-long Synod of Bishops on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church has drawn to a close. The participants today voted on the final list of the private propositions to be presented to Pope Benedict, and the Synod will formally conclude on Sunday with the concelebration of a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, presided over by the Holy Father. In their final public message to the faithful released on Friday, the Synod Fathers said every Catholic should have a copy of the Bible, read it, and pray with it regularly. They also said devotion to the Word of God must lead Catholics to prayer, concrete acts of charity, unity with other Christians, and dialogue with all people of goodwill. At the same time, the message warns the true devotion to the Word of God excludes a fundamentalist reading of the Scriptures. The Synod's message was drawn up by a special commission chosen by the bishops and clergy with the right to vote. One of the members of that commission was Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga of Tegucigalpa of Honduras. He spoke to my colleague, Philippa Hitchin.
I think the message is beautiful and it will make a lot of good, especially to our faithful.
It's divided into four main sections, isn't it? Can you just briefly describe how you decided on this particular format?
From the very beginning, we were in agreement that it was necessary to give images because we live in the world of images and signs. And so we took four signs. First, the voice, because the Word of God started not as a written word, but as a proclaimed word. It was Moses who was listening to the voice of God. It was Abraham who was listening to the voice of God, and so on in the Bible. And so we started with the voice, the Word. But the Word was made flesh. So we have a face, a human face, Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate Word. Thirdly, where is that Word, that voice, and that face living? That is the question that the first two disciples asked to Jesus. Master, where do you live? And so, where is the Word and the Lord living nowadays? Has a house. The third image is the house, and the house is the Church. But the Word is not only proclaimed and given to us, and Jesus Christ is not only to be confined to the house. It is to be taken through the streets and through the highways to different places and different nations. That is why the fourth sign is the road.
That was Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga of Tegucigalpa speaking to Philippa Hitchin. A total of 55 propositions for consideration by the Pope was drawn up by the Synod Fathers. Archbishop Douglas Young of Mount Hagen in Papua New Guinea said he was pleased with the consultation process that went into the preparation of those propositions.
I was pleased with the way the propositions reflected the work of the last few weeks. They did seem to come out of a process of consultation, which covered the whole width and breadth of the Church throughout the world, East and West. It came out of the discussions that we had in small groups, out of the sharing on the floor from each one of the bishops who had the opportunity. I felt that they had come out of a wide and deep consultation process.
But overall, what assessment can be given to the findings and outcome of this synod? A question my colleague Charles Collins put to one of the synod's participants, Archbishop Donald Wuerl of Washington.
I think one of the joys of this synod, participating in this synod, has been the focus of this synod. The Word of God as the theme has brought together bishops and experts from around the world. And in a sense, there are almost two currents going on. They merge. But there is, from one perspective, a highly theological and theoretical look at the Word of God. And I think that's coming out of the fact that there are some 60 members of the synod who are graduates of the Biblicum. So they bring with them this richness of theological expertise and understanding. But another current that's a part of this whole synod is the pastoral perspective of the bishops. And that overlaps. The bishops who are also trained theologians in the area of Scripture are also pastoral men at heart too. But I have found the richness of this synod to be in the taking of those two perspectives and the mingling of them. I think what will come out of this synod is going to be something very helpful to the church.
Can you give us an example of this? You talk about the merging of the theoretical to the pastoral. Can you give us an example of how this could happen?
Well, one of the things that we have talked about at great length is understanding the Word of God in the context of the living tradition of the church, which of course differentiates us from non-Catholic groups, because we understand that the Word of God, Christ, articulated his revelation to us in the context of a living faith community, and that the writing down of that revelation, the writing down of that understanding of God's Word, took place within that context. That's been highlighted from the perspective of the deep theological reflection that involves. Now comes the pastoral application of that. How do we help people access the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, benefit from the Scriptures, but in the context of that living church tradition, so that we don't fall into the position of just opening the Bible and interpreting it any way you want? So what we're hearing in the synod is this rich theological explanation of why the Word is understood and articulated in the liturgy, in the church's magisterium, in the catechism of the Catholic Church, for example. And how does one, therefore, access that Word in that same way? For example, one of the things that we talked about was helping people take the Scripture, maybe for Sunday Mass, the Gospel for Sunday Mass, and develop that as their reflection point for the whole week. And maybe pastorally, we could even prepare some materials, very simple but useful materials, that would help a person or a group of people or even a family simply reflect on that gospel and what it means today so that it becomes a living part of their life.
There has been talk about the historical critical method versus other methods of looking at Scripture. You talk about how these merge in the pastoral way and how a family can take this. For example, someone might say, reading Genesis, for example, this was the Yahwist strain, or this wasn't, this was from a priestly strain. Would this be, some people argue, is this helpful at all to the person in the pews when you get this strong critical analysis? This is, some people would say, this is where you see this split, where some of the historical critical methods, some people say, don't have any bearing on the life of the faithful. Is that fair?
I think what we're seeing in the synod is an affirmation, a reaffirmation of the whole historical critical method, but placing it in the context of the theological methodology as well.
That was Archbishop Donald Worrell of Washington speaking to my colleague Charles Collings.